have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Lady Michelle Austin. I know what you've been through. You've been through. Don't think that it's only you.
Nation. How's everybody tonight? I am so happy to be here with you all. I am your host, Lady Michelle, and you are listening to Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle. Yes, everybody, welcome to our virtual safe zone. So happy to be here with everybody tonight. And before we get started, we're going to do a little housekeeping. As you know, this platform is centered around the education of domestic violence, toxic relationships. We talk about the different forms of trauma, self-love, finding your voice. And, you know, this is just to name a few because, you know, we really get deep into some stuff around here. But I just want to let you all know that, of course, Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle was designed with each one of you in mind. And, of course, we designed this show to, what, enlighten you, to educate you, to inspire and empower you. And this is a disclaimer here that I always have to make each time we're on, and that is all content of this podcast is intended for general information purposes only, and is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional mental health, trauma advice, or therapy sessions. You must never, 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 ever disregard or delay seeking professional help based upon any content that you hear from this podcast. And so I want you all, if, you know, we always tell you to do your check-in, you know, we talk about some heavy topics here. And if you feel like you need to get some emergency help, make sure you dial 911. take care of yourself. You may even need to step away from the podcast. You might need to turn it off and come back a little later if it gets too heavy and things begin to trigger you. So just wanted to get that housekeeping out the way. Now let's get into it. During the last 2 years of this pandemic, of course, and we're almost into 3 years since the pandemic started back in 2020, many of us have felt very, we've been thoughtful about our lives. Our lives changed in many ways, and so we're trying to think of the different things, what's important to us, right? And so one of the goals for this podcast is to help my listeners create and live a more integrated and deeply satisfying life as a whole person. That's our goal here, right? And so all of the things that we need to do to help you do that, we do it. So while we have talked about trauma in the past, I also want to make sure that we're always sharing tips and techniques to help you create a more balance in your life and really show up as that whole person, right? And so sometimes trying to figure that out and what we need to reevaluate our lives so that we can feel like we really are thriving, sometimes that can be a little difficult, right? And sometimes when we do figure that out, right, and we figure out the things that we need to work on a little bit and things so we can be more fulfilled, it can be difficult to really know how to do these things to reinvent our lives. But I got a good one for y'all today. I got a good one. So in our episode today, I am really happy to share with you some of those tips, some of those techniques, some of those things. We're gonna talk about a topic that really a lot of people don't dive into, but we're gonna dive into that today, and we're gonna help you with this thing called domestic violence. You know, it has so many layers to it. So we're going to talk about a whole lot of things that can help you and to help you thrive, because that's our thing here. That's our goal. That's our theme. We're always talking about thriving. You know, we don't talk about surviving here. We talk about thriving, going that extra step, that extra mile of past surviving, right? So now here comes the good part. I'm going to introduce to you my guest for tonight. I am super excited. I met this guest. I met him in the pandemic, and it was online. So I've never met him in person yet, but that's okay because, you know, everything opened back up now, so we're going to get to do some work together. I'm really hoping that we'll be able to collaborate and do some things together. But I want to introduce this young man. He is a certified anger management and a certified domestic violence prevention specialist. So anger management specialist and domestic violence prevention specialist. And he started a nonprofit organization called Brothers Like Me, and it's based in Pennsylvania. And what I like is his mission. His mission is to provide a no-judgment environment to educate brothers, young and old, on domestic violence and management. Y'all help me introduce, y'all help me bring on Andrew L. Gardner. Come on, Thriving Nation, let's give him a big hand clap. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how you doing? How y'all doing out there?
We are doing very well. I know I had to get a whole mouthful out before I brought you on, but you know, you got to take care of business. You got to do the housekeeping first, right? I am super excited to have you here. I got a few people that reached out to me. They said, hey, that's my homie that you're interviewing tonight. And, you know, it's a small world. And so it's just good to know that we have some of the same friends, so we pretty much is destined for us to do some work together.
Yes, I'm good. Great.
Yes. So I want to get started. Now, I know you and I, we did talk for a couple of times, and our schedules were a little crazy, and it's Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so the two of us are both busy this month, but I just really wanted to get you on to talk about, because your platform is really important, because you deal with the men. And so a lot of times, and we're going to get into that whole thing, but a lot of times, you know, we only think about the women, right, when it comes down to domestic violence, but there's two sides to this thing, right?
Right.
So I want to start off with a quote that you did. I love quotes. Quotes, to me, they speak volume to what I'm feeling, to my values, my beliefs. So I always love quotes. I always love to find quotes. Well, you have a quote of your own that I found on your social media page, so I'm gonna read it.
Okay.
And you said, life is a one-way destination, traveling on moments. Meaning you can never go back to the moment before. All you can do is focus on the moment that is at hand and create better moments until the day you land. I love that.
Thank you.
I'm gonna now open the floor up to you. Go ahead.
Okay. That's like one of the things I stress to when I'm dealing with the brothers, because, you know, we make mistakes, but your mistakes don't determine the rest of your life. You know, you can't, you know, everybody has a past. So I just encourage brothers, you know, not to make the same mistake, learn from it and just be better. So that's kind of where I created that quote. That was actually, you know, helpful for me, you know, to get me to where I was at, where I'm at now in life. Just putting the work in and, you know, not hanging my head on like stuff I did in the past, you know, just to work through it. But you also have to acknowledge your mistake and understand that I did make a mistake, or I do have a problem and I do need to correct it, because if you deny it, you're never going to elevate, or you're never going to heal properly. I always say, like, if you deny it or lie about it, you're actually going to heal on a lie that's going to continue to make you do the same thing you keep doing over and over again.
Wow, I love that. I love your transparency as well, and I'm a very transparent person with the things that I experience with domestic violence. And I think that when we are advocates for it, we really have to be transparent. People don't want to hear, you know, they'll know it's a lie, because especially those who are going through it, they know if you're not really being truthful. And I love that you're doing it as a man, because I often talk about the little boys, because we don't talk about that these men who are doing things, right?
Right.
We don't talk about the fact that they were little boys and they may have experienced it before, or so they may have experienced abuse, or they may have seen it as a child. So I want you to dive into that, because there's a whole story behind why you even started Brothers Like Me. So I'm going to be quiet for a moment. I'm going to let you just talk about it and let us know what's going on.
Okay. So growing up, I seen my dad. He used to abuse my mom, you know, when I was a child and everything. And, you know, my mom would kind of, you know, get mad at me, you know, being her oldest, but I'm still young, for not, like, really protecting her. So that cycle, it continued until she finally, you know, got the courage to, like, move us and divorce him and everything. My dad did eventually get his life together and got remarried. But me growing up and never really, like, talking about that or really, like, going to therapy and everything for that, it started happening as I got older, as I was becoming a man. In my relationships, I found myself being abusive. I didn't know why. I guess it was subconsciously. It kept happening, and then I kind of thought that, because some of the women I was dealing with, they were also, like, they thought that type of the way I handled things was actually love to them. So they actually some of them encouraged encouraged it, like, okay, yeah, this man, he must really care about me if, you know, he's gripping me up and cursing me out and doing stuff like that, not understanding that I have a problem and you also have a problem if you think you're supposed to receive love that way. So I really didn't recognize I had a problem. Like, as I was younger, you know, I was kind of thought, oh, well, I saw my dad do it. You know, my mom accepted it. It wasn't until as I got older and then I was dealing with a young lady and we had, like, a bad argument. And I kind of just, like, snapped on her. And her response was different because, like I said, I was used to women, like, going back and forth. But she really wasn't going back and forth with me. I snapped. And she left. I wound up going to jail. And then I just realized, like, yeah, I have a problem. Like, I can't keep blaming my dad, my mom, these other women. Like, I had to look at myself. And then while I was in jail, I was talking to other brothers, and we were talking about domestic violence. You know, they were talking about it like it was the normal thing to do. You know, like, yeah, I get in an argument, and I don't want to trigger nobody, but they were like, you know, I smack my girl from time to time. I choke her. I do this, that, and the third. And I found myself, like, I'm in jail with them, and I'm sitting there trying to judge these brothers. I'm like, yo, these dudes crazy. But at the same time, like, I'm checking myself because I'm like, I'm here with them for the same exact thing, so how can I be judging them? So that's when I decided, like, to have a conversation with him. I was like, yo, you ever think, like, you know, we the problem, like, you know, we need to talk about these things. So, you know, when I got out, and I wasn't in jail, I didn't do, like, a long time. I was in jail for, like, a few days, so I don't want to make it seem like I did, like, a lot of time in that. but that couple of days was enough for me, though. I was like, yeah, that's not the place, like, you know, I want to be. Yeah, so once I came out, I checked myself into therapy, anger management. I did spiritual counseling also with at Enon with Reverend Miles. And then I had, like, a personal therapist. So I was going to therapy, like, nonstop. I had anger management, regular therapy, and spiritual counseling. So going through that process, I just wanted to get, like, deeper because I wanted to help, like, you know, because this is not a conversation that we have in our communities. Like, we don't talk about domestic violence. We don't talk about anger management. We don't really talk about our upbringing until, like, really something happened and it's too late. And, like, we are in jail, or a man or a female is getting hurt, you know, through domestic violence. So I just wanted to be a pillar, and I wanted to bring that awareness. So as I'm going through all this stuff and I'm working on myself, I decided, like, well, what can I do to get more involved? So I started, like, researching stuff, and then, you know, I went and got certified for anger management, and I went and got certified for domestic violence, and then I decided to create my nonprofit, Brothers Like Me, and it's to help brothers and bring awareness. And I'm a creative, so, you know, I have a background in theater and acting and, like, writing. So I got a few of my acting friends, like, well, I can come up with these little cool videos where I can show, like, how situations go with domestic violence or with your anger, but I could also flip it and show you how to avoid it or give you different strategies of, you know, how to get yourself out of situations like that. So I started doing the videos and everything, and just using that because I realized, like, a lot of us, especially, like, the younger generation, they more so visual. They like to see things to understand it versus, like, talking. Like, some get it talking, but if they see it visual, it'll click more. So I just started doing that, and that's kind of like how I base my platform, you know. So I do the videos, and I still talk. I do one-on-one counseling. I do group counseling. And at the end of this year, I'm going to do a free one-hour virtual session on anger management and domestic violence. So that's basically how I got into my whole platform. And I'm also transparent. Like, I tell my story. Like, I don't hold back. Like, I'm honest, so. Once they see that, like, I'm vulnerable and I'm being honest, that puts them in a place where they can be honest with me and share, and they don't feel like they're being judged because they got somebody, you know, that been where they at. You know, I meet them where they are, and then we go from there and work our way up to the top. You know, I always tell them, like, you know, our job is to get 1% better each day just by, you know, being better than you were yesterday.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's it.
Mouthful. I'm hanging on every word. Got my little notes over here that I was writing down. because you were hitting so many things and so many nails on the head, and I love it. So shout out to therapy. I love that you said that you go to therapy. So you have, of course, we know, well, I'm not going to say of course we know because I know this, but everybody else might not know it, but you are a believer in Christ. And so I always tell people, I'm a believer as well, I always tell them I have Jesus and my therapist on speed dial. So I love that you have a therapist. You had your spiritual therapist as well, your spiritual mentor and things like that. And so we need all of those things when we have gone through any type of abuse and trauma. We need these different things in our lives because you have to have some things in your trauma toolbox. And so the things that you can go in and you can get for what you need at that moment. So like you said, you meet people where they are. Well, people have to be able to have these tools, these tips, and so that they can be at their fullest capacity, I mean, be in their capacity to be able to make it. I think I just flipped those words around, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
Right. So, you know, sometimes you get a little tongue-tied over here, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen the best of it.
But what I wanted to say to you, you also said something that really hit me. I'm a visual learner, and I'm not a millennial. I'm a little up there. But that's always been my way of learning, visual. And so I absolutely love your videos. I love them. They're short and to the point. I love the way that you use the role play and the self-reflection techniques, and you use that. And that's what you're using on your social media platforms, which is really what social media should be used for.
Right, yeah.
I love that you're using it to teach us, like, self-control. You're teaching some resilience, responsibility of how to prevent domestic violence. I love that because as a woman, it's also showing me some of the things that I may need to do, like some of the accountability for some parts that I may play in something, because it's not always the woman who's being abused. Sometimes it's the man. So we got to make sure we say that. So, you know, speak to that part, because like you said, you've been very creative in that.
So I break down like real life scenarios, and some of them is like from my upbringing or situations I've been in. And then, you know, what I learned, like getting certified, I just apply like the lesson to the video. So it's like, you know, it's stuff. And I did one, and it's kind of relate to far as like the younger generation, even my generation too. You know, I had them arguing over a PlayStation 5, which was a hot commodity, you know, everybody. And it may sound crazy, but when you think about like most arguments, like if you really sit back and reflect, they'd be like over the smallest things, and it blows up, it escalates, you know, and sometimes it becomes violent. So, you know, I just use like those situations and, you know, how it can be prevented, and show like both, I show how to communicate better, like through fear and frightened tactics with some of them. And then also I use emotional intelligence, which, you know, I think that definitely should be teach more, especially like throughout our community, not even our community, all communities, you know. That should be like a class at school on emotional, just how, you know, how to recognize your emotions and how to apply the correct emotion, like in the situation that you're in, or also recognizing the other person's emotion, like maybe they're going through something and it's not about you, it's more so about them, but then you make it about you and you take it personal, and now y'all escalated and it wasn't even that. So I definitely use that a lot. And I teach that a lot too, emotional intelligence. Like I said, I really think that should be like in the class. I think that should be an education system, you know, teaching our kids, young kids, you know, at an early age so they can recognize their emotions and, you know, be able to talk about it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's very important. I know that was a class that they had started teaching on my job.
Okay.
Because that is you're right. It's important that we have that. We got to be able to be able to handle our emotions. One of the things that I found out, and I actually started a domestic violence group at my job, because you know what's happening? We who are going through abuse and trauma and toxic relationships and all those things, we take it to work with us though. You know, because we don't know how to turn it on and off. You know, it's there with us all day. Whether it's in your mind, it's in your, you know, you're being physically abused or mentally or psychologically, whatever it is, financially, all of those things, you're carrying it with you. So I think it's very important, like you're saying, teach it in the schools. Teach it. We need to talk about it in our churches. Talk about it on our jobs. You know, this is something that you got to be able to get that into the people, that emotional intelligence. So kudos to you for teaching that and opening that up to your men that you are that you're talking to and that you're speaking with and you're helping and you're counseling. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
And so what are the other things I wanted to ask you? I know that you did say you're going to do a free one-hour session at the end of the year.
Yep, end of the year, yep.
Yes. Is that going to only be for men? Because I know you deal with men, so is it young boys and men, or is it females can come, or are you only doing the guys?
No, females can come. Like when I do the free workshops, majority be men, but like if I do one and I'm putting like out on social media, everybody's like welcome to it.
Okay, all right. And what was another? I just had like a little couple of things that I jotted down for you because you got the good stuff going on, sir. I love the things that you're doing. And again, see, I work a lot with women. You work a lot with men, so of course. Mm. Do some collaboration with you, and we need to make some things happen.
Oh, yes, we do. We most definitely do, yeah.
Yes. So one of the things that I did notice is that you started your organization October of 2020. And we all know that, of course, it was the pandemic. We're, you know, told to stay home because of stay safe at home, right? But
yes.
We weren't safe at home. Those who were going through abuse were not safe. They were now trapped in the homes with their abuser, whether they were children, the elderly, the disabled, the women, men, everybody was trapped.
Yeah.
And so is that why you started it in that particular time, or was this something that was always in you but you just felt like, okay, this is the right time to start this?
That's a good question. It's been in me. You actually brought that to my attention when it started in October. I guess that's just a divine time because of God. I've been planning on it. Yeah, I've been planning on working it. It just happened that way because I always said I wanted to do something. I always wanted to give back, but I never really thought about what I wanted to do, and you know, I was praying on it, and this actually came like my prayer. So, and I put the work in, and this happened. It started during Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and you know, during the pandemic.
Okay. Well, it was the perfect time, like you said, God's divine timing, mm-hmm. and. This is amazing work that you're doing. Again, I love, and I'm just going to keep saying about your visual, the part that you're doing, because I haven't seen anybody doing it like that. Haven't seen anyone putting it out there where you can actually see a scenario. And then I love how you'll start it. It'll be the bad way. I'm going to just say bad.
Yeah.
It'll be the bad way. And then you'll come on and you'll talk and then you'll, you know, tell us the right way that it could go. And we know that all situations are different. We can't say it's a one-size-fits-all. But for the most part, if someone follows these scenarios that you give us, they pretty much can be stopped somewhat, prevented somewhat.
Prevented,
right?
Yeah. Right. Right, yeah.
And
yeah,
so
it could be
de-escalated, Yes, that's a good word, de-escalated. I like that, yes. And because one of the things, of course, is we know they're hurting people. Well, my mentor taught me this, and I'm going to say this until I leave off this earth. Hurting and unhealed people hurt people. So I love that you are teaching them how to deal with their anger management. So I wanted to segue into that. So you're teaching them how to deal with their anger management, because that's a lot of things of what we have not been taught about conflict resolution. We haven't been taught about anger management and things like that. So can you tell us a little bit about your anger management program?
I just give people, like, you know, so normally when I do a workshop or if I'm working with somebody, you know, I break down, like, what anger is, how it affects your body. If you keep getting angry, you know, the health, like, over time, it'll start doing damage to your body, you know, with your cortisol and adrenaline flowing and keep going into your organs. So that, over time, that causes you to get sick. You know, if you think about, you know, if you leave water running, you know, in your sink and it starts to overflow and it constantly doing that and it hits the floor, like, after a while, the foundation of the floor going to break. And that's the same thing that happens to you when you keep getting, you know, you keep getting angry. So, you know, I break that down, and then we go over different scenarios, and then I talk about, you know, the importance of, you know, just controlling your anger and managing it, because, you know, you don't want to, like, take your anger into, like, every relationship that you go to. And I ain't talking about, like, with women or men. This is even, like, with jobs, dealing with your kids, your friends, like, you know, you want to get them under control. And then the one thing about your anger, like, you get angry, and it only lasts probably about, I say, like, a minute. You're at the height of your anger, and then within that minute, you can make, like, a life-changing decision that you're going to later regret. And then you think about, like, well, dang, I did all that in a minute, and now you're paying for something for a minute, possibly for the rest of your life. So, you know, you got to think about that and the consequences. So, you know, I put all that into my program.
That's great. That was a great thing that you said, and it was really mind for someone to really think about. That minute, something, people have killed someone in that minute or said something that they can't take back, or, you know, just harm someone. Something to think about, you know, and
yeah,
you can't take
yeah.
that back. You can't change
yeah.
it. So yeah. So
yeah.
Now, so for your anger management program, is it that they come to you on their own, or are they mandated from, you know, jail or something? Because you know you had your epiphany in jail. It was only a couple days, but it was enough for you to get get it. So is that something that you have worked out with the courts, or is it that people come to you on their own once they?
Some people come to me some people do get court order and come to me, and some people go through, because I do, like, a lot of work with Enon, so, like, a lot of people will go through Enon, and then, you know, they'll send them to me, and then they'll go from there as far as the program. And I was working with juveniles, so I do work with them, and right now I'm trying to work on to be able to start working with some of the schools in the Philadelphia area.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, and that's good that you're saying the juveniles, because, and not that juveniles when I was younger, and I'm a little older than you, but not that juveniles were not bad when I was younger, but the juveniles of the young people of today go through so much more than we ever dealt with. They have to deal with social media. They have to deal with, you know, this, first of all, this is their only world. They don't even know a world without technology. So they have to go through all of those things, and it's a lot more pressure on them to try to learn how to navigate through if they are experiencing some abuse at home or some things that are going on at home, school, you know, with their friends. You know, you got TV, which shows a whole nother world. It's just a lot that you're dealing with. So I'm happy to hear you say that you've been working with them on some of these anger issues, because they really need that. Do you find it more difficult to deal with them? And when I say difficult, just mean more challenging than when you're dealing with the older individuals with anger management?
sometimes it could be like a tie. So what I mean is like so some of the juveniles, you know, that actually want to learn, then yeah, I can actually help them. And then there's some that's just sent and they don't care. They just want to say they just showed up. So I do my best, but they can. I give it, but it's on them to receive it. Now some of the older men, they kind of like they older and they kind of like stuck in their ways. So it's really like the same thing. Like, well, what can he tell me that I already know? So basically, like you just have to want to be helped to be helped. But I can't force it. Like, I have the information and tools for you to help you, but, you know, I can't, like the old saying, you can lead somebody to the well, but you can't make them drink it. You can't make them drink the water. So, but as far as the juveniles, though, the ones that want to be helped, they take it. They like the videos. And we also with the juveniles, I actually have some of them, like, we'll do it. So everything is still kind of virtual. So we'll do it like on a Zoom where I'll write up a script and then I'll have them act out. And then, you know, we'll do like the whole thing. And they enjoy that part the most, actual lesson. So I figured like that's key with them. They like doing the role playing themselves and acting. So, and they learn that way. The older guys I work with, they more so like the lesson plans and the information I give versus them doing a role playing.
Okay. I think now tell me how you feel about this, because I'm listening to you say about the older men who, you know, they're of course set in their ways. Do you think that it's more so that you would probably have to take someone like an older gentleman back into their childhood, take them back down that journey, down that road? Because a lot of times growing up back in the day, you know, you were taught not to have these emotions. You were, you know, you kind of were taught to keep it all in. Of course, we know that there was the old saying, what goes on in this house stays in this house. So they didn't really get a chance to tell anybody what was going on, and they suppressed all of those feelings. So is it that sometimes maybe, because I do a lot of this with the women, and I take them back on that journey. I take them back to that little girl who was traumatized. And many of them may be, you know, 50 years old, 40, 60, something like that, but they're really still 7 years old. It's just that the sun, they've gone around the sun many, many, many times, and so you have a birthday and you turn another year, but you're really still 7. You're really still 8, you know, things like that. And so do you find or do you think that that would maybe work with some of the men, that they can go back and they can address those things that happened to them as a child, and maybe that explains why they're even in the position that they're in right now?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And sometimes, you know, if they have kids, you know, I'll ask them, like, especially if they got daughters, I'm like, would you want your daughter to deal with a guy like you? You know, because that's a question I'd ask myself, too, because I have three daughters.
Okay.
And then, like, back then, if I was asking myself, my answer back then would be no. So, you know, some of them, they think about it, and it's like an aha moment. So, you know, they're like, yeah, you're right. And then, so that usually gets through, too. But I do agree with what you said, though, taking them back to their childhood and, you know, their upbringing. You know, like, a lot of men was always taught, you know, showing emotion is weak, and, you know, you don't cry, and like the total opposite. Like, showing emotion actually makes you strong. Like, crying makes you stronger, like getting it out and expressing yourself and not holding it in. So,
yeah. Oh, my goodness. I remember growing up, and I would see, you know, little boys, they would get punched in their chest by their father or their mother and then told not to cry. Like, what?
Yeah.
And so when you think about stuff like that, like, oh, my God, it's just the, you know, I was going through my own abuse as a child myself, but I was watching these things happen around me. And so now, of course, those men are now, you know, up in age. They're, you know, they're our CEOs. They're our, you know, our They're in our churches. They're in our communities. They're our police officers. They're our, you know, whatever job they're holding. Those men have not dealt with those issues from back then. So that's why I was bringing it up, and I think that that would be a great thing to do. I'm going to have a program next year, and so I would love for you to be a part of that. And don't nobody who's listening to this steal my name, because I'm going to have to come for y'all. But it is called, since my the name of my organization is Heal and Rebuild Unbreakable Spirit, so it is going to be Heal Her and Rebuild Him. And so I would love for you to be a part of that, because we have to heal the woman, rebuild the man up, and really, and together, I believe that we mm-hmm. could prevent, the DV, right? How you feel about that?
Right. No, I agree, and I definitely would love to help. I want it because I believe that we supposed to work together, men and women. That's what we was put on earth for, to work together, build each other up, not to fight, to raise.
Yes, look at that. Y'all heard it here first, Thriving Nation. Listen, look at that. We're going to bring it to y'all in 2023. Make sure everybody show up for that event, because I believe it's going to be life-changing. And just listening to you and knowing the things that you've done, I was on, the first time I met you, I was on a Zoom and heard you speaking, and it was from Enon. And, of course, our show is heard all over. So if people don't know what Enon is, it is a large, very large church in the Philadelphia area, thriving church, very active in the community. Just they do a lot of things. And so I heard you speaking on that, and I instantly was like, I got to get with this dude, because he's talking about all of the different things that align with my values, align with, what my organization stands for. You just had the men and I had the women. And so I definitely wanted to connect with you. We have a magazine. You are one of the features in the magazine. That magazine is hitting everywhere this month, October of 2022. We had a lot of things that went on, of course, with our pandemic, and so things were delayed, but it is coming to everyone, and you are one of our featured guests, and I love the title that you gave us, Diamonds Are Forever, Abusers Are Not. That was so powerful, because people think that if once you're an abuser, like, you can never, ever, ever change. So speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, so you definitely can change. I'm in the gap for that. You just have to, like I said, you have to be honest with yourself. And once you're honest with yourself and you motivate it, like nobody can stop you. You just got to put the work in, pray, and like I said, be 1% better each day and just continue to work. Like it never ends. Like you just gotta constantly do the work every day. It's like every day you got to work on something. And that's what it is. Nobody's perfect. Nobody on this earth is perfect. We all make mistakes, and it's like once you hold yourself accountable, learn from it and be better. So, I do my best to give hope to people that, people can change, people can do better, people can aspire. I live my life that way now, and, I will just continue to be a shining light.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love that you're talking about how people can change, and definitely they need to pray different things that they need to do in their lives to make those changes. One of the things that you said, and I've even been speaking about this to members of my board and trying to figure out how we could implement this, but if we notice those who go through Narcotics Anonymous and Alcohol Anonymous, they have those 12-step programs, right? And they live by those programs, that 12-step, right? And not only that, though, they go to meetings every single week for the rest of their lives. Why do we think that if we go to therapy or domestic violence therapy or whatever type things like that, and we go for 5 months, right? and we think we're good. No, you just said it. This is an everyday thing. We have to continue this every single day, working on it, working on it, working on ourselves. We went through trauma. You cannot just get rid of that overnight.
No, you can't. It's just like, yeah, you just got to continue to work on it. Like you said, you just, you know, like I said, some people, if we're being honest, some people go there just to say they went, like, hey, I did the program, I'm cool now. Like, nah, bro, nah, sis, like, you got to put the work in, you got to keep going. That's what I think, too. Like, I'm transparent, so sometimes I'm like, yeah, you know, it's love, but sometimes it's tough love, you know, not too tough, but it's tough love. It's going to be, you know, I'm going to hold you accountable.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And you have to, the steps and things that you're teaching them, things into play. Like I've noticed in a lot of your videos, you say the person had to control their breathing. They had to, you know, think about their brain and what things were going on in there. And that's so true. You cannot react. I think you talked a little bit about responding and reacting. Like, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I always talk about it's better to respond rather than react, because when you react, you just you don't think, you just do, and then when you respond, then you actually you can slow things down, you can process like, well, if I say this, this might happen, but if I don't say that, maybe this can happen. But when you react, you just say it, you don't care what happens, and then until it happens, so I think that's key. Just learning how to slow things down and, you know, think about your consequences. And breathing is very important, too, because, you know, just being self-aware of your body. Now, for me, I know breathing is important because if I'm getting angry and I feel my breathing change, then, yeah, I gotta slow it down. I got to shut it down. I got to go for a walk. I got to, you know, come back to the conversation or whatever, you know. So, and some people are different because some people may not be breathing. Some people, they might start hands might start shaking. They might start sweating a lot. Eye may start twitching. Voice may go high pitch. Voice may get deeper. You know, might cry. So it's just, you know, pay attention to your body and all the signs of your anger. And once you understand that, you know, when I'm getting angry, my body responds this way. And then you know, like, uh-oh, let me go, or let me just slow it down. And, you know, and it's okay, like, to walk away. Like, you don't got to stay there and try to prove your point, you know. Try to be right, you know, and say, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? You know, you could be right, but are you going to be happy? That's your decision, whatever you chose to do in that moment. So
that's good, because I know for me, and you just taught me something just now, just listening to you, because I know when I get really, really, really angry, like I'm getting ready to, and I may start crying. And the person who's near me may think that I'm crying from tears of weakness, but I'm actually getting revved up. Like, these tears, I'm getting ready to really hurt something in this room because I'm now at my breaking point. But you just, like, wow, I got to calm down, breathe, and get myself together, right? Wow.
Yeah, you know, and also, you know, because some people, even when I'm teaching people, they get confused, you know. They think anger is bad. Like, anger is a human emotion that we all have, we all experience. We all know how anger feels. Like, we all deal with anger. It's the anger itself is not bad. It's how you respond to it, how you react to it. That's what makes it bad. When you react to it, when you let it control you and consume you, that's what makes anger bad. But the anger itself, it's a natural emotion that all human beings deal with, right? You know, we all know what anger feel like. We all know what sadness. We all know what different emotions feel like. So, you know, that's what I try to teach the people. Because some people think they never supposed to get angry. Like, they, you know, I'm not going to get angry again. I'm like, well, that's almost impossible, because if you're not getting angry and then you're holding it in, then one day you're just going to explode. And you're you know, so you want to let your anger out, but you want to let it out in a healthy way. And that might require you to go, you know, talk to somebody, read a book, exercise, you know, do what you need to do.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Those are great tips. Now, so do you have anything in your Do you have a toolbox? Do you have a trauma toolbox or anger management toolbox or whatever you would want to call it that you go to when you may feel like your things are happening around you that you need to have that balance in your life? Yeah.
Well, for me, it always goes back to two things. It goes back to breathing, and it goes back to the consequences. Like, I know I don't never want to go to jail again, so. That's always like when I'm getting it. So that's always like, you know, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to let down people. Most importantly, I don't want to let down myself. But breathing for me works because I have this thing exercise. It's called BCM, breathe in the current moment, where I just, you know, if I'm angry or I'm thinking about something that made me angry earlier and, you know, it's playing in the back of my mind, but I'm in a safe place right now. So I say I had like an argument earlier that day, and it's still lingering. So I'll stop, and I'll just look around where I'm at, and I'll just close my eyes, and I'll breathe in the atmosphere and be like, yo, I'm in a safe place right now. Like, I'm enjoying where I'm at. Like, I have freedom. You know, the birds, the sun out, where I'm at, I'm cool. Like, breathe going. So, like, why am I letting what happened earlier affect my mood now? Like, I'm in a good place. So that's, like, one of my go-tos, too. Breathe in the current moment.
I love that. Breathe in the current moment. Now, I'm not going to steal your stuff, but I'm going to write it down.
I have a video on my page on it.
Okay. Okay. Well, listen, here we go. So, this hour came and went, and we're at the end of it. So what I want you to do is we've been just like vibing. just tell everybody where they can find you, all your social media, your website, any way that they can get in touch with you, help, donate, whatever needs to be done. You can tell my Thriver Nation right now.
Okay. So y'all can reach me on my website. It's brotherslikeme.org. You can follow me on Facebook at Brothers Like Me. And Instagram is brotherslikeme_. And my YouTube channel is Brothers Like Me, which is all four platforms have my videos on it. YouTube has all my videos. Facebook has all my videos. My website, I only have about five, but my website has a lot of information. Like some of the lesson plans is on my website. A little bit more about me. My bio is on my website. You can contact me through my website. You can also make donations through my website. Or if you want to sign up through classes, do everything through my website. That's brotherslikeme.org.
Awesome, awesome. So anyone who may be listening to this and you have a brother, uncle, father, you know, whomever, even grandpa, you know, he's not too old to get some help with anger management. If you have anybody who you know that may need classes, these sessions, listen, I'm waiting for the free one-hour session that's coming up. I'm getting in there. So, you know, put me down. I'm going wherever I need to sign up, you know, because I feel like you have never arrived. We're still learning. With still things that we can learn from this, right?
Right.
Make sure you get me. Okay. But, so I didn't ask you this, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot right now. You can kill me later, but normally at the end I give some final thoughts. But do you have a final thought that you may want to give to the Thrive Nation? If you don't, you can say pass, and I'll just give mine.
Well, you know, when I've been stressing, like, through this whole thing, I just encourage everybody just to get 1% better each day. Just work on something new every day. I don't care if you read a book, a page from a book, a paragraph, read some Bible scriptures, whatever. Just work on getting better 1% each day. And that's it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming here today. You can come on anytime that you feel like you want to come on. Just hit me up, and we have space and room for you. Your platform is amazing. The work that you're doing, keep doing the good work that you're doing. We need it. If we're ever going to get rid of domestic violence in any kind of way, if we're going to get those numbers down, we need brothers like you. So I know you said brothers like me, so I'm going to say brothers like you. But we need that in our communities, especially, and I know we need it in every community, but I'm going to say especially in the African-American community. And we really need it. And I just want to say keep doing what you're doing. I am honored that you would come on our show today and that you would share some of your thoughts, share some of your tools, your techniques, the things that you're doing. And just thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thanks again for having me. And I appreciate you reaching out to me. And you've been a supporter and, helping and everything. So I definitely appreciate you. Like I said, we need each other. And like you said, we need each other to, continue steamroll this thing and help people and build people up.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome. So I'm going to get my final thoughts.
Okay.
We know that on this show that we always say to be kind to one another. And you guys know that I always go a step forward and I say be kind to yourself. And don't ever forget that you are no longer a victim. You are more than a survivor. You are a thriver. I want everyone to know that you matter. Your voice matters. You know, we talk about finding your voice here on this platform. Blot out the voices that you hear from those who have oppressed you, those who have abused you in any kind of way, those who have told you that you are nothing, that you mean nothing, that you will never be nothing. Just block those things out and focus on finding your voice. Focus on being the best you. And so I just want to make sure that I tell you all that. Y'all know I love y'all so much. I thank all of my supporters. I thank everybody who tunes in every week. We wouldn't be here if you guys didn't tune in every week. And, of course, we have to thank the best producer, the amazing visionary Kimmy Kim, who, she's just been a great asset to me. She definitely helps all the time. She is with the Elation family. She is actually the founder of the Elation family, which is the platform that we are on. We have the Elation Radio, Elation Magazine. We have our Ashes to Beauty Clubhouse and just so much more. So make sure y'all check us out. We are on Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle is a part of Elation Radio. So you can find us on Spotify, I believe it's iTunes, every major platform, because I can't ever remember to name them all. But you can find us. And, of course, we have YouTube, which is Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle on YouTube. And so we want to thank her for the work that she do. Make sure that when y'all go to the YouTube page, y'all like and share my page. All right, y'all, come on now. We got to make sure that we have those numbers up, right? And so there is another quote that I found on your page, and I like this one as well. So it says, it's the small habits, how you spend your mornings, how you talk to yourself, what you read, what you watch, who you share your energy with, who has access to you that will change your life. I love that. I love it, love it, love it. So thank you to everyone again, yes, for showing up tonight. And I want to remind all my thrivers, say it with me, when you love yourself, you are healed, and when you are healed, you are loved. We're going to get on up out of here now. Mwah. Kisses to everybody. Thank you so much, Andrew L. Gardner, for coming here, and you and I will be in touch with you. We'll do some other things together.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah,
you
yeah. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Pick your head up, get up, it's only right, take back your life.